You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh. My guest today is Garrett David Kim. Garrett is a playwright and an educator. I met him through the 52nd Street Project, which you've heard many of my guests talk about volunteering for. He works there full-time as a program director, and he asked me to be a guest artist partner for one of the kids in a stage combat workshop a year or so ago. And I just loved every interaction I've had with him. He's such a patient, smart guy, and the way he interacts with the kids is really amazing to see. So I was really happy to sit down with him in the costume closet at the project. That's where we found a quiet spot to talk. I will definitely post pictures. I was excited to sit down with him and talk about his experiences there and as a writer. And he's only a couple years out of college, so I was curious to hear about his experiences from that stage of life. Please check out his work at garrettdkim.com. And for the 52nd Street Project, if you want to go see a show that the kids put on with the guest artists, they're all free. You just have to get tickets through the website. And the upcoming one is a stage combat show, like the one I participated in last year. And it's coming up on June 9th at 7:30 p.m. And it's so much fun. So if you want to go, just check out the website. And if you're interested in volunteering there at any point, you can also contact someone through the website and get hooked up that way. It's such a great place. I hope you enjoy the 78th episode of The Compass. What do you do to try to keep from going to the dark side as an artist?
So, I've been thinking about this for a little bit since I knew that this was coming. I feel like, well, I guess for me, what I feel like the dark side is a lot of like, I mean, I feel like it often comes down to like comparisons.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a lot of like where I am versus where I think I'm supposed to be. You know, that I should, like, what in whatever I'm doing, like, oh, I, like, whether it's, like, falling behind deadlines, whether it's, like, you know, feeling like, okay, I've done, like, these things already. This should, thinking that there's, like, a step
ladder.
Yeah, that there's, like, a ladder or, like, one way that things are supposed to happen. So like, I've done this, why am I not
right
moving here? It's been really interesting. I think this is going to be a little bit different from some people that you've had, since I'm like, I'm in my first year out.
I know, and I'm excited to get your perspective,
because yeah,
you are in a different part of your life.
Yeah, and so that is really interesting. That's really interesting because I'm like right in the thick of all of us, and I'm sure you had the same experience of like everyone, you were together and you were doing things together for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And now you leave and everyone's trajectories are like vastly different.
Dispersing.
Yeah. So it's like I'm watching like some people like doing off-Broadway shows and like on Netflix.
Right.
And then like other people are like, you know, it's just like the hustle of like working to pay rent, to be in the city, but in order to be in the city, you have to work so you can pay your rent,
right,
and so be here. And then
do you have time to try to make any art?
Yeah. So it's also like, it's all just a lot of comparisons, I think, for me. And so, you know, I think a big thing that I do is... A big thing I like to do is, like, talk to people who are not in the arts. I think that has been... Because I didn't go to a school where everyone were artists. Like, I was in a theater program that was really, really intensive. But I also have, like, these touchstones outside. And I think just because it's so much of that, like, comparison is, like, just getting in your own head about everything. So, like, getting myself out of my head by, you know, just like going and spending an afternoon with my friend who's like doing marketing, or like, you know, like getting on the phone with my family, you know, like, or my brother and sister who are like doing very, very different things, you know, talking to them, that, that seems to help me a lot.
Yeah, it's easy to get obsessive and to think that this is the only thing that matters, or, and when you're only around other artists, it can be all you talk about.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the echo chamber, like online, of like, yeah, like politically, where it's like, you know, you hear the only thing you hear is people who have the same opinions or who are thinking about the same things as you, and so, you know, you just kind of get caught in this loop. Yeah, and so I feel like I'm definitely a victim to that a lot.
Well, that's great that you have people in your life who are, that you're really close to, who are doing something else and can,
yeah,
can give you a bigger picture of, yeah, what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that has been super great. I mean, my like entire family is not in the arts at, mm-hmm, all, which, you know, that's like tricky at times, but I think, in terms of like keeping me grounded, and I guess this is kind of what it comes down to, is like, I will like get into my head and then like not, you know, like just go way off of like what is actually happening, what's actually going on. And I'll forget about like, you know, I'll forget about something that's happened literally like that morning that is like a positive step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So like having people who are like kind of seeing the trees from the forest. Is that the expression? Yeah.
The forest for the trees.
Forest for the,
maybe,
trees. Whatever. It's just like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Being able to like see more clearly than me who is like in it,
yeah,
I think is really, really important for me.
And you grew up in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Is that
Wisconsin.
Right?
Fellow Midwesterner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in a rural area or like suburban?
Yeah. Okay. So I guess it's like right about to get rural where I am. So it's like the suburbs of Milwaukee. But then like my school was also like across the street from a cow farm.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I mean, you know, it gets like very rural, yes, very, very quickly.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it was like, so it was like 30 minutes to get to, the city, where in high school I was doing a lot of theater. So it's like close enough that if I wanted to, I could like get out of the house. But it was also like, it's a very small town feel where,
yeah,
I grew up, you know, and we were with the same, well, we moved from like a smaller elementary and middle school into like a super big high school. Of like my graduating class was like, I guess this might not be super big for everyone, but like 600-700 kids.
I mean, it sounds big to me, but
yeah,
I was homeschooled.
Oh. So anything's gonna
sound big.
So like even a class of 32 will sound,
yeah,
big. Yeah. Yeah. So.
No, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot, and it was also a very sporty area.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That
like,
was what was important.
Yeah, like there were. I remember during the time that I was in high school, there were like several referendums to try to get a performing arts center at my high school. Cause like some of the other, schools like in the area were building these performing arts centers for like, not only for like the, schools to perform at, but also like to bring people,
mm-hmm,
in who are like touring around during the summers and stuff. And, you know, like, those would get shut down every time. And then, like, a private donor would give, like, an obscene,
right,
amount of money. And, like, now the basketball locker room has, like, neon lights and, like, individual lockers, like,
right,
with the players' names over them.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. So, like, needless to say, it was, like, not... I found the places to, like, do art.
But it wasn't necessarily at your school.
No, it was not. Well, it wasn't. I have a weird relationship with theater in high school. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, I think I learned a lot.
You were acting mostly at that point?
Yeah. So I started, yeah. I mean, I feel like this is very similar to a lot of people who end up not doing acting, but I started out as an actor.
It's the easiest way to get involved.
Yeah, and I've known, like, it's easy if, like, well, now that I'm, like, doing programs where I'm, like, teaching kids, I'm like, yeah, this is definitely the easiest way to, like, introduce them to theater, because you can get, like, 25 kids into acting really, really easy, and it's a lot more difficult to introduce them to something like writing or to design or visual arts or film. Like, film is, like, you know, all these processes are a little bit more intensive. But yeah, so I was, like, doing mostly acting, and yeah, and there was, I mostly did musical theater and Shakespeare in high school, which was really weird. It was really weird because...
I love that you did both.
Huh?
I love that you did both.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, yeah, like, my high school, I, like, basically only did musicals, and it was like very high school musicals too. Mm-hmm. It was like Footloose and Seussical. It was like which I think about it now, I'm like, that is definitely not that's like definitely not what I'm interested in anymore. But, you know, I think a lot of, like, my own insecurities were kind of, like, I think this happens for everyone, but, like, laid down when I was in high school. It was like we had, like, these very, like, competitive programs, and since it was so, like, you know, so sports, it was like those of us who decided that we were gonna do theater were, like, definitely, like, off on our own.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was, like, another really insular group where, like, we all kind of just, like, got way obsessed with our
way intense with
yeah doing. And I don't think it was until I found this children's theater in Milwaukee that I really, like, figured out what, like, actually doing theater is.
Was it a very, like, was your school very diverse?
No.
Yeah.
So I'm biracial. My mom is white. Mm-hmm. My dad is Korean American. My school was, like, 94% white, and my community is 96% white.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have to say the area where I grew up in Michigan was probably similar.
Yeah.
Which is shocking for me to think about now.
Me too. I don't know how I did it for so long. It was, like, the people who were diverse in that area were, like, literally coming to work at the GE Healthcare, plant that was nearby.
How did your
nearby.
Parents end up in that area?
So my mom is from Wisconsin.
Okay. I'm just curious.
My dad's from California.
Okay.
They met in medical school in Wisconsin. And my mom was like, if you think I'm moving to California, you are out of your mind. And so...
She's a Midwesterner at heart.
Yeah. Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's got to stay close to home.
Yeah. Like, my grandma and my aunt are, like, still in the town where they grew up.
Yeah.
So that was, like, a very interesting thing. And honestly, it's still something that I feel like I'm unpacking even right now. Yeah, but it's just, like, because I feel like when you grow up in an area where just, like, culturally everyone just, like, looks very different from you, and you're, like, that 5% that is not the same as everyone else, you kind of have to, like, it's almost like the coming out process, like, for, like, gender, sexual identity, for race. Like, I've talked to some other people who are biracially specifically, and they've also told me that this is similar to what they kind of feel like they went through. It's like, I've had to like, kind of navigate my relationship with, like, the Korean American side of my family. Also, especially because they, or my dad's family is out in California. So, like, I would, you know, I'd see them, like, once a year maximum. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, yeah, it's just very interesting to have to, like, because, like, I think people see me and they assume a certain like set of experiences that I'm like very, very removed from.
Right.
Like
when your environment was so much on the other side of your family.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like my dad's family has been here since like the 1920s.
Oh, wow.
So like I'm third generation.
Yeah.
Like my grandfather didn't even learn Korean. I'm like so removed from this experience. But you know, it's like, like I was asked in high school, like, do you guys have Asian Thanksgiving? Which was, yeah, it was like totally perplexing.
There's so many strange things about that question.
Yeah. It was
non-specific things about that question.
It was so strange, but it was just one of those, it was just, there are moments like that where.
And what do you do with that as a kid? I guess it depends on how old you are. Like, when do you, does that even hit you that you're like, what are they, who do they think
yeah,
I am?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, yeah, I mean, I really did not start to like, put two and two together, and this might sound weird, but I did not start to like figure it out that like, oh, like I look different, like I look different and I have like a different background than almost all of my peers. I did not figure that out until like the end of middle school, getting into high school.
Yeah, because you're just yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was easier once my siblings started to have those realizations too.
Are you the oldest?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm the oldest and I have two younger siblings. My brother's a year younger than me and my sister is just finishing her first year of college, which like that's weird for its own reasons. But yeah, so, you know, because then
you had someone else to share.
Right.
It.
Then the three of us were able to talk about it. You know, and it like wasn't always seriously. Sometimes it was just like joking around at the dinner table, but
at least you have someone else who understands.
It's so helped to have someone who like was there going through the same thing.
Yeah.
I should also say that I grew up in one of the most conservative counties in the United States.
In the whole United States?
Like, 2012 Republican convention was held 15 minutes from my house.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, it was also really interesting going from that environment to, like, very progressive, liberal New York. I almost felt like I went, like... I almost felt like I was hearing some of the exact same conversations, but just like the things they were arguing about were on the other side.
The flip side.
Yeah.
Huh. Did you always know you wanted to come to New York, or were you just applying to a bunch of different schools? And
I think I did know that I wanted to come to New York, and then I was like, you know, no, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to like, wherever I get into is going to be fine. And then when I got into a school in New York, I was like, no, I definitely like want to come to New York. Yeah. I also was not going to be like an artist for a very long time.
Yeah.
I was like dead set on doing like engineering.
Okay.
Which was like just a very much a 180. Oh, but you know what? And this is why I love going to people outside of my, just like throwing it back, love to go to people outside of like my world and my experience, because I apparently had a conversation with my parents, you know, like I like sat them down and was like, you guys, I know I've been talking about like this thing, but I want to like audition for schools. So, and I think, I guess one of the things that I told them is like, look, I know it's not like the things that I've been studying in high school, but I'm smart and resourceful and I feel like I'll be able to figure this out. And like in the fall, my parents came and visited and I was just like talking about how weird and difficult it's been. Uh-huh. Like just the whole transition of leaving in a super supportive and safe environment out into the world. And like my dad brought that up and I was like, oh, Right. Yeah. I said,
I do know that about myself.
Yeah. And I believe that so strongly at one point in my life. Yeah. So,
well, let's go back to the school thing. But before we do, since I usually ask about how your family takes in the fact that you decided to be an artist, and since we've been talking about them, let's talk about that and then we'll move on.
Yeah. Cool.
Because none of them are artists themselves.
No.
Parents are doctors.
No, my parents are doctors. My brother is about to become a doctor. He's going to medical school.
Business.
My sister is, she's in the engineering school at UW-Madison. Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, they basically were like, they were very glad when I decided to go to like a BA program and like a university, because they were like,
can get like a liberal arts education
options. But I think I was very convincing when I had that conversation with them, because they were like, you know what, yes, like, you're,
that's what you wanna
do? Yeah, we'll support you. And they've been incredibly supportive. Good. I've been very, very fortunate that they've supported me in my endeavors. They don't always get it. And I thought it would be something that like we'd never, like, I would never really be able to communicate to them, like, in the throes of, like, me trying to navigate, like, how to move through this business. Right. But, like, I found recently that I've been able to, like, have just, like, very honest, direct conversations. Like, you know, like, no, these kinds of things, like, have to happen before, like, there's even any thoughts in the air about, like, a production or anything like that. Like,
no, my dad asks questions like that. I was like, well, why can't you just get a better agent?
Right,
like,
right.
That straight line isn't quite how it works.
Yes, and you know, and it's like for, I mean, it's not this easy for doctors either, but you know, it's like there's a clear like
path.
Series of steps, yeah, that you take. You know, you go do your residency, you know, and you know, just move very naturally from one part of your career to the other.
Yeah.
So, like, this, like, kind of, like, pinball-y thing that we have to do is, like, not something that they're used to. But I think it's something that they're understanding
and
more. Yeah. Yeah. No, I really like my family. I'm, like, very, I'm very glad that I feel like our relationship's only been getting better as we've been getting older. So,
nice.
Yeah, and that definitely helps.
You went to Fordham, and is that where you started writing, or have you always been a writer?
That's really where it started. I feel like I was one of those kids who, like, started, like, novels every other week. You know, like, I would start, like, writing out these stories or, like, doing like kind of cartoony things, and I guess it never really, like, I never really realized that writing is like something that you can do like a career until I got to a place where like that was an option. But no, I got to Fordham as an actor, so I, you know, I like did the audition thing. And part of the reason I decided to go to Fordham is because they have, you know, you can dabble in everything. But there's a really amazing, really amazing professor there named Daniel Alexander Jones.
Okay.
And I kind of just like said that I wanted to like try playwriting as like a freshman. And he was like, sure, why not? Join the class. And so, yeah, and that kind of just blew my mind. And I eventually just, like, totally decided to step away from acting. Because, yeah, I feel like I've been able to make the opportunities that are most exciting to me as a writer. And I think I was, like, if you want to talk about dark side, I feel like the experience of, like, trying to move through this program as an actor was really, really difficult for me, especially in like the terms of like comparing myself to others. Mm-hmm. It was like I was working on things And it was always like not the project that like I wanted to be part of, or, you know, like I would be doing like the Shakespeare play, and like, you know, down the hall they're making like this crazy like devised piece, and I'm like that, because, you know, I mean,
you don't get to choose.
No, you have, and I think that's a thing that I struggled with a lot is like, you have to like wait for, you have to be invited in some cases, you know, like really, it's like, unless you go ahead and like get a group of people together that like you, and you as actors just decide, we're going to do this play. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure it out as we go. It's like, you have to put yourself out there and hope that you're going to fit with what, the people like kind of at the head of creating whatever is gonna, they're what they want.
Right.
So yeah, for me, writing was definitely about, creating opportunities for myself.
Did you, or do you act a lot in your own writing?
No. I did a solo performance class, with Daniel, who does a lot of solo performance. Do you know, or did you see Soho Rep in the fall did his play Duot?
I didn't see it.
And he has this alter ego, Jo Mama Jones, who is like this incredible performer. Like she does stuff at Joe's Pub a lot too. For anyone listening, if you get a chance to see her, she is like a force of nature.
That sounds amazing.
It's like, I like
that is a very specific art form.
Yeah.
Doing solo shows.
Yeah.
I would love to do it sometime, like as a challenge to myself, but it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, and that's why I did it, because I was like, I don't feel comfortable doing this at all. This totally freaks me the fuck out. I ended up doing something like way more personal that like kind of opened up a door for me as a writer. But no, I don't perform a lot. Although I don't know, maybe. I still like every
just because right now you're not doesn't mean you won't ever feel that pull again.
Yeah. I've really like, there's only one project right now that I'm involved with as an actor, and other than that, it's like only really writing right now. And like, you know, and like this is a project as an actor where I'm like, this is a really interesting, compelling thing that we're working on. Yeah, and I'm like I'm very glad to like contribute in this different way.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I'm also excited about. But yeah, no, I've been writing a lot about like my family and about personal things, and it would probably be a good thing for me to like at a reading or something with my friends to like
read in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be totally safe space. Why not?
Yeah.
It might teach you something about it as a writer, even if when you eventually produce it, you don't want to be in it.
Yeah. Know? Yes.
That's interesting.
Even thinking about it right now, I'm like, oh my God, that sounds just like horrible. Because it's also a little bit of that, like...
No, you just get some people you trust, you get some bottles of wine.
Exactly, I was going to say, like, there needs... This sounds like a situation where wine needs to be involved.
Wine needs to be had.
Yeah.
It would be fine.
Yeah. You can do a lot of things easier with a bottle of wine.
Have you... I'm always curious with playwrights, because there's so much development involved nowadays in, like, the new play scene. Have you, what do you find useful in like a collaborative relationship, or like have you had like long-term relationships with certain directors who've helped you to develop your work and stuff like that?
I think it's mostly been, there are two, so at Fordham there were, you know, there's all these different concentrations, and there were three of us in my year that were focusing on or had playwriting as a concentration, right? So, which is like not usual. It's usually like one, sometimes two. So those two, I feel like we moved through like watching our work grow together. And mm-hmm. so we've like developed a very good, they're two people that I trust a lot with what I work on. But, you know, I think it's, again, it's like a lot of like hearing someone who is like not in the thick of making it objectively, like, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? Because like, I think it's actually more helpful than like someone who's like trying to get in and like really like have a hand in. I know some people are like really hands-on. Yeah. And I guess for me, it's like someone reacting as like an audience member, even if they're an artist, because like, you know, we see theater all the time. We go to like readings all the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that for me is really helpful. The development process is so weird. And I think that's something that like I'm as like very early career playwright, I'm trying to figure out. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it seems so nonsensical that we spend so much time, you know, like with our music stands and like, you know, like hearing something out loud that's supposed to be like
fully
lived. Done. Like, yeah, yeah, like 3D. How do you feel as an actor? Because
I hope that it's helpful to the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, especially for nonprofit theaters, like it takes a lot of money to finally do that production. So they want to make sure that they're, I guess, that it's at the right place once
yeah.
they put all those resources into it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sometimes I think they're great and sometimes I think it's not helpful to the writer. And the writer's like, I need to see it fully in front of an audience with all the design. And then
yeah,
maybe I'll still do some tweaks, but like it's at that point.
I usually find that it's like, the first or second draft is like really helpful.
Yeah, like early on.
Because I've been being all the characters like in my own head yeah. or like in my room. So like then it's super helpful. And then, yeah, and then it's like until there are people who are sitting down and like gathering in a rehearsal room with the intention of like getting up and like putting the yeah. thing on. Because I think for me, like, some of the most fun is, like, the, like, nitty-gritty of the rewriting process. And I think, like, this is, like...
That's interesting.
I think that's what makes... I think that's, like, the melding of, like, my right and my left brain. And I think this is why, like, I like Shakespeare so much, is because mm-hmm. it's, like...
There's a structure.
Yeah, and, like, every word and, like, every little element of the meter... is like huge, like a comma or like, you know, a semicolon, like that can be like a world of difference in like yeah. what someone's communicating. So like that's
so
actually
you really
like
think about those things when you're writing.
Yeah, so like that's my favorite part actually, which is I don't know, maybe that's nerdy of me.
No, I love it.
But yeah. yeah. So yeah, it's like once we get into that place where we can like spend some time with people who are like smart, going to like treat it well. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a lot of trust to like hand over
yeah.
your work.
Yeah.
And that's part of the fun part because they'll
yes.
bring it to life in a way.
No, and it's like I
otherwise you would write a novel.
Yeah, exactly. If I didn't want to work with other people. Yeah. Sometimes I think people should write novels instead of plays. But no, that's why I asked about how you feel as an actor, because I'm like, I know that it's like really, at some point it's really helpful for me, but like, I don't know, I guess this is a question, like, do you do a lot of like reading and development stuff? Because I feel like that might get
its own
kind of like tedious.
I mean, it's kind of nice if you're like not working on a project right then.
Yeah.
If you're just auditioning to be like, oh, at least for today we get to like read this story from beginning to end in a group, meet new people and make contacts like that and all of that. And I think everyone's always cheering for new work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think if you do it too much, it can get tedious. Or if people aren't respectful of your time or don't do it in a way that's makes it really positive for everyone involved, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If someone isn't considerate for people's time, especially when you're usually like volunteering your time, then
yeah.
it can be frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah. No, I try to be very conscious of that when I ask my friends to like, come help me out, please. And usually food and or wine
that always
involved.
Helps.
I know it's like helps. If I like, I'm usually not in the position to like pay you, but I'm definitely in the position to get you some alcohol, make some guac, and like turn it into like a little bit of a party.
Nice.
But yeah.
Well, can we talk? Because I'm realizing that when I first met you, when I did the stage combat thing last year,
yes,
you did you just start working here? You must have just graduated. Or did you start working
no.
here during college?
I started working here during college.
Okay. Because I was putting together the dates and I was like, oh, that was like June last year.
Yeah.
And you graduated 2016.
Yeah, no, I like graduated. Okay. Like week like three or four
and
of that
me,
class.
To me, I was just, this is the first thing I'd done at the 52nd Street Project. So I was like, oh, Garrett's just always worked
yeah.
here.
Yeah. No. I had you fooled.
You totally, you were so professional. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. He's the expert.
Thank you. Yeah, no. Yeah, so, yeah, I feel like a lot of the things that that have been really great for me have just kind of, like, tumbled into my lap unexpectedly. Like, I had, I'm going to, like, just be gushing about some of the people who, like, have made me, like, have, like, helped me on to the next thing. But, so Eliza Baldy is, she's a director. She's a longtime volunteer here. And she taught, a text analysis class that I took as a sophomore. And, you know, she was just kind of, like, asking me about what I wanted to do, and I was like, well, I've always been interested in theater education. It's something that I want to pursue as more than, like, a side gig after I graduate. And she's like, okay, if you are serious about this, you need to look up the 52nd Street Project.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. But yeah, so I have been working here since January 2015.
Working here,
yeah,
not just volunteering.
Working here.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, I was a junior in college, which thinking about it now seems preposterous and completely exhausting that I...
Full-time?
I was part-time.
Part-time.
Yeah. So I started as an intern. And then I moved from intern to a volunteer in the playmaking class.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the first class that the kids take here. It's a playwriting class. And then it was like during that fall semester that they were looking to hire someone to start in the spring. And so I applied and yeah, I got this job, which has been... it's been a lifesaver, to be completely honest, this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to have... Well, I mean, me personally, like, leaving school has been a lifesaver. To be here despite what is going on in the world right now, it's been a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Like, Leo, so I... So we have... So, right, November 8th was a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... horrible and awful. And then the next day we had I had a storytelling class that I had to teach, and I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna be able to get through this. But like I got into work and I was like, okay, we need to like keep going, we need to make this happen. And you know, it's like middle schoolers like telling personal stories. It's like, it's crazy. Like, I would never have been able to do this, but, you know, like, what we, I feel like we do so often is throw a challenge at them, give them the tools to make it happen, and, like, never let them know it's as difficult as it really is, you know? And so, like,
all eighth graders don't do this.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, no eighth grade, like, no eighth graders get up and, like, talk about their personal experiences as vulnerably as, like, you just did. But, like, so when the class happened, I, like, emailed all the adults and we're like, okay, guys, I know this is awful. We're on. We're going to make this happen. And we got in the circle and I was like, and we were just like, we started talking a little bit. I think I asked everyone to go around and say something that they were grateful for that day. And one of our kids, who's an eighth grader right now, was like, I am grateful that I'm going to be old enough to vote in the next election. Like that, like when I say life-saving, I mean, yes,
heartbreaking.
like I mean life-saving. Yeah. Like I'm like, right, like this there's is why, this is why I'm here. This is why I wanted to start doing this in the first place. This is why we have to keep doing this, even though things seem to be falling apart right now.
That's amazing.
I mean, they've been so, like, they've been just so much more aware and active than I feel like I ever could have possibly been as high schoolers. Like, one of our teams was like, I just called my senator about, like, this, this, and that because they work for me.
Yes,
you are right, and don't let anyone try to tell you that they don't.
That's
they
amazing.
Are your elected officials. But yeah.
So your title here is you're a program director.
Yes, program director.
But you get to do a lot of like actual teaching with the kids too. It's not just administrative stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm one of three people in our like artistic team here, and it's like one part administrative, one part like teaching and education, and then one part like artistic. So like I do all of like the coordinating and stuff like that with volunteers, with kids, creating curriculums, running meetings for our new platforms programs. And that's basically everything that's not like strictly an acting or a writing program. So, like, the stage combat class is a good example, storytelling. We do a filmmaking class that just wrapped up last week, dance making, song making, improv, all kinds of stuff. So, which is also really fun because I'm, like, jumping around between a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely never boring. But yeah, so I'm doing like the administrative work for these programs, working with all of you lovely volunteers.
I mean, this place just, I had been hearing about it since I moved to New York, had never done anything with it until Frankie did something a while ago. And it's just like the people you guys get involved are just people I know from like every single circle of theater in New York that I've ever met, of every level. Just incredible.
Yeah, and I feel like there's so...
And you get to meet everybody and work with them on such a great level.
Yeah. I mean, I...
On such a personal level.
Such a personal level. And I think, like, for me, that's what's so special. There are a lot of special things. For, like, the adult artist volunteers, like, what's so special about them is, like, they... Like... I think this podcast is just a testament to how many of them are working so hard to make this happen.
Yeah.
And yet they're carving out time, which is money, like, which is like, you know, a lot of things that they could be spending their time in the city doing a lot of other things, and they're giving it to our kids. And like, not only just giving their time, but also their talent. You know, a lot of what we do here is really dependent on one-on-one, mentor-like relationships. So, you know, it's, like, also just, like, being present with these kids. And, like, those are the kind of people that I'm, like, I'm so glad I'm getting to meet them right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, and there's also, I was kind of looking, there are so many of them that have been on this podcast too.
There are. I think there's a overlap of like open hearts.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So I'm excited to have you on in your own right, but also because so many people have mentioned this program and you have a special insight.
Yes.
Into it. So I feel like it's coming all around full circle.
Maybe I should I say just like a little bit, because I can talk about, I don't know if everyone.
Yeah, if you have like a few things about the mission that you want to say in case people haven't been as acquainted with it.
For sure. So the 52nd Street Project is a nonprofit community arts organization. We're in Hell's Kitchen, mm-hmm. where we are right now recording in our lovely costume closet.
I will take pictures.
We work with the kids in this neighborhood specifically. So,
what are the guidelines? Like, what are
the physical
boundaries that they have to live within?
So it's like down to 42nd, uh-huh. like up to like 60th, 61st, 62nd. There's some kids from the Amsterdam houses, mm-hmm. so, you know, it's like,
in that area.
It's not so rigid, but like, yeah, up in that area, and then out to 8th Ave.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a big fairly area. Big area. Yeah.
A lot of people in that area.
A lot of people. And it's a very rapidly changing neighborhood, as a lot of these neighborhoods in New York City are. And so we primarily work with, you know, like working class families. A lot of the kids go to the public school across the street, PS 111, and what we do is we make art with them. We like I said, like mentoring between adults and kids. It's also collaboration between adults and kids artistically. So, you know, like they will write a play and an adult will direct it, two adults will perform in it, adults will like design it, and you know, like treat it like it's
That's so amazing.
Beautiful piece of theater. yeah, like take it seriously. Like it's.
That must just give them so much confidence that people would take something they do seriously.
Exactly. And like, I think, especially now that funding for artistic programs is going way, way, way downhill. Uh-huh. It's more important than ever.
Is that how you get most of your kids, is through like talking to the schools?
Yeah. So
like get the word out?
Yeah. So we have some connections at some of the public schools in the area. A lot of the kids are also like relatives to other people who have been.
Right.
And so like maybe their aunt did it and now they're living in the neighborhood, so they've signed up. Or right. like, now we've been around for 35 years.
Oh my gosh.
So now it's like former kids are now coming and signing up. Like I think a former project kid just signed up her daughter like right
really
before we
beautiful.
Did this. Yeah, so
it also just gives them a place to come spend time in the neighborhood that's like really positive and safe.
Yes.
My
yeah.
perception of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll see kids here just doing their homework or seeing their friends or whatever.
Yeah.
I grew up in a rural area, so like I don't know what kids do in New York City.
Right, exactly. And like this is a place that they can come every day after school, get yeah. their homework done. There are opportunities for like a more traditional like big brother, big sister kind of mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
Like Frankie does yeah. that with Ethan. And then, you know, there's like we just start throwing artistic challenges at them as soon as they get started here. They start with a playwriting program called Playmaking. And then from there, it just branches out to every avenue. They'll like, you know, they'll act with adults, they'll write a play that they act in, they like, and eventually it's built up and up and up until they're acting on stage with each other in our teen ensemble, which at the end of June, if you're going to be in New York, you should come see these kids do the Comedy of Errors, because it's going to be amazing.
Oh, we have to come see it.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun, because, you know, like, they don't have a lot of the preconceptions that
right.
us adults have. So they're just like going for it and like fucking nailing it. So it's going to be really cool.
Well, that's one of the cool things is that all of your shows are free to come see.
Yes.
Can it just be anyone, or does it have to be someone who's worked here before?
No, everyone.
So go look at the website.
Yeah.
If you want to have like a delightful evening of watching kids,
it's
be awesome.
Yeah, it's some of the
and
best
hilarious.
Theater. It's I feel like I can stand by. Yeah, I feel like you can stand by this. It's the best free theater in the city. You will see like world-class performances by incredible actors. Like Billy Crudup just played a pencil here, which like you're never gonna see that anywhere else. Yeah, it's amazing, and all the programming is also completely free for the kids. they can incredible. Start working here when they're teens, and there's scholarship opportunities for after they graduate. So, you know, hopefully it's not only a really deep impact and connection that we have with them, but it's also for a very long time. Yeah.
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 That's so exciting. And so this has kind of been your day job too.
Yeah.
As far as figuring out the financial thing after graduating.
Yes.
It's been this. I mean, I'm sure you must have your moments where it's obviously something you're passionate about, but how do you keep yourself from getting burnt out with it and having it just be, oh, I have to go to work today?
Yeah.
Do you have any things that you try to focus on when that's happening?
Well, I mean, it's so tough. I mean, I think it's the same. It's the same thing as, like, you know, when we decide to, like, not just, like, casually do theater, but, like, pursue it as, like, our means of making a living. It's, like, you have to negotiate the, like, yes, this is my job and I love it, and it's also my job. And, yeah. like, that's definitely how I feel about this place. Like, I love it so much. I love the people here. I love what I do. I feel like it's a very good and important way that I'm using my skills. But, you know, like, it's also my job. So, like, when 6 o'clock comes, like, and if even if I get an email at 6:01, I'm going to be like, you know what? I can take care of this tomorrow.
It's okay.
It's going to be definitely okay. Yeah. So, I mean, and that's something I think I've been navigating too, because, you know, my day job has been school. And now it's this place that I'm at for 40 hours a week.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there are so many rewards to it, but I guess of course you have to remind yourself.
Right. And, you know, there's like days like today where I'm like, you know, like we're hanging out with the kids and getting coconut cream pie. But, you know, I've like been spending most of the day like editing curriculum, and, like finding like updating contact information
right,
and stuff
the
like
more
that.
Tedious stuff.
Yeah. 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 I feel like it's with any job, you know. Like, knowing that, like, there's going to be time to get everything done, even if it doesn't feel like it, even... Because, you know, part of my job is, like, producing, basically, like, the stage combat show that you did. You know, like, I can take care... Like, there's enough time to make things happen. I've also had to get a lot better about asking for help.
Yeah.
Luckily, this is a very, very collaborative organization. You know, there's, like, there's 11 of us who are working here, making it all happen. And so, you know, like, they're also all here going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And can offer things that I cannot do. So, yeah, I've had to get a lot better about doing that, too.
If people wanted to get involved, besides just coming to see a show, what is the process for, like, applying for something like that?
We have, like, a screening interview process. Basically, they should get in touch with either myself, our artistic director, newly named artistic director, Natalie Hirsch, our first female artistic director, and our first person of color in the position.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. And she's such an incredible human.
I know. I need to get her on here at some point.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I think she has a very fascinating journey. I mean, I think everyone here has a really interesting journey about how they got here, but she in particular, because she was doing, like, the acting thing for a little bit. Mm. But yeah, you should totally get her on. She's awesome. Wow. But yeah, reaching out to one of us, I think if you go onto our website, which I can give you to, like, put however you do that, but yeah, just emailing one of us, and then there's like a volunteer application. It's mostly for us to know like the best place, like where you might fit in the best, like what kinds of programming or like what kinds of working with kids have you done in the past? What do you feel like your skill set is like as an actor slash tutor? Because people also will come and help the kids after school during homework time. And yeah, we're always looking to meet more people who'd like to get involved. The beautiful thing, but also the tough thing about this place is that people will like come like when they're like fresh out of school, and like and then we'll watch their careers like take off, and then like,
and then you lose them,
and then we lose them, even though they're wonderful people.
Don't have time.
Like, yeah,
but then if they're really crit up, they come back.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
When they have kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you know, like they're like they'll host a fundraiser. Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
No, that's true.
No, it's always sad when someone's
take
like,
the energy while I've got it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, we love meeting new people, and great. Anyone who would like to get involved, we'd love to meet them. Yeah. But I will say, coming to a show, I think, is going to be the best way
to see what you guys
do. To see what we do and kind of get a sense for if this is something that you would want to volunteer for.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Because as you know, having like played a bird who got in a fight with a cloud.
Yes, I did.
It was awesome. Yeah, it's like, it's awesome, but also very, it's a very specific style, I guess, what I would say. But yeah, definitely come see us, because like we said, everything's free.
No, and it's
and
so much
so fun. So fun. Oh my gosh. Just like very quick side note,
yes.
Darby did the dance class.
She did. Go,
yes.
Darby.
Right. I like approached her about
did it.
Did
it go well?
It went so well.
Oh, good.
Oh my god. Okay.
This is a very shy girl that I worked with.
Very shy girl.
Who was awesome, but started from a very low energy place.
Yeah. Yeah. Like come like very much like keeps to herself, and then like you like the partner definitely has to work to break some of that down. But she just
great.
Did our dance program. Her dance was the longest by at least a minute. Her
by
dance it was with an adult
with a partner.
Yeah, so like stage combat, but she it was called it, her dance was called Vegetarian Zombie Apocalypse. She like did it to like a piece of music from Westworld. It was so
That's
incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really get to see these kids grow.
There's
really
so
do.
Many kids who like even in like the I guess now almost 3 years since I've been an intern, since I've like first met them,
yeah.
have like just blossomed
changed
into like
so much.
People.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like kids are going to high school that I met as sixth graders.
Yeah.
Kids are graduating this year that I met as
That's
like
really
freshmen.
Special.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure influences your perception of time working with kids.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because as adults, we can kind of get in our own heads and you're like, I'm the same as I was
but,
3 years ago.
But for
when
them,
you're watching kids.
It's so quick. Yeah. Yeah. Everything happens just like that.
Well, I don't want to keep you too long. Gonna take a picture of you with this fish just for a second. One more.
Oh, look at that.
So, to wrap it up, two final questions.
Yes.
Even though we could talk forever. When you are having, like, a dark day, are there any concrete things that you reach for again and again?
Yeah, it's... Recently, it's been mostly, like, music and podcasts.
Yeah.
Like, depending on the mood. Like, sometimes, like, I need to feel like I'm, like, eavesdropping on a conversation like
yeah.
this.
I also binged way too many political podcasts, so sometimes I need a break with something that's
yeah,
more like narrative
exactly.
or personal.
Yeah, yeah. Have you listened to Shit Town?
I was temping last week and I listened to it basically in one day.
Oh my god.
While I was at a desk.
Okay, I don't want to talk about it in case anyone hasn't listened to it, but
it's engulfing.
It's incredible. It's the most riveting story I have heard in a very long time.
Yes.
If you haven't listened to it, finish listening to as many of Leah's episodes as you want, and then go listen to the whole thing. I've like literally listened to it twice all the way through.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, because I listened to it like in chunks, and then I did what you did and listened to it like straight through. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But yeah, so podcasts... I've always been, like, super into, like, making playlists for, like, shows or,
mm-hmm.
or like, characters I'm playing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely music. There's a couple of bands. I don't know if you feel like this at all, but I think the bands that I started listening to, like, right when I got to this city, are still some of the bands that I love the most to this very day. And I don't know if it was just,
so
like...
They get so nostalgic.
Yeah.
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 What are some of those for you?
Young the Giant is one. Oh, they're really great. I feel like if you listen to some of their stuff, you'll probably recognize
maybe
it. But yeah, they're like kind of an alternative rock band. The Lone Bellow is another really great one. They're a folk band based out of Brooklyn. Super cool. But yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Music and podcasts.
Gotcha.
Because it gets me out of my head, you know?
It's so great in the city, too, because you can walk around and...
Yeah, I know. Still be, like, feel productive.
But, like, it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
You're, like, moving your body and your brain is occupied with one of those things.
Yeah.
And then is there anything that you've seen lately that you want to recommend?
Well, we just saw Twelfth Night last night.
That's right, at the Public Mobile Shakespeare.
We ran into each other.
And you were there with kids from the project.
Yeah, with 13 Ensemble.
Awesome.
Did
they like it?
They did.
Good.
They weren't like hoorah-rah about it because, you know, it's a little bit of like, come on, y'all, let's go see this play.
I had a blast. And I'm partial because I have a bunch of friends in it. But
I know
really
people in it. But it was so good.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, I said this to you afterwards. I was like, that might be my favorite Mobile Shakespeare Unit play I've seen yet. I also was thinking, that might be my favorite version of Twelfth Night that I've seen in a very long time.
I think Twelfth Night actually... I think benefits from cutting down. I don't normally feel that way.
Oh,
I don't
like
it when people cut Shakespeare, but I think it actually worked pretty well.
And I love what they did with Viola and Sebastian.
Mm-hmm. It took place in Miami, and Viola had just come ashore, like, from Cuba. And
yeah.
When the brother and sisters, like, reunited, the whole scene was in Spanish. It was really cool.
Yeah, and there was, like, Spanish throughout, like, especially when Viola and Sebastian were talking to the audience, they would, like, slip back and forth between English and Spanish. And so, like, for someone like me who knows the play, it was really exciting.
Yeah.
But I also think I can only imagine for someone who is not as familiar with the play, it must have been, like, really, really exciting. I know, because my coworker who came with me, she was like, oh, my God, I loved it. And it's also, if this comes out when it's still running, you should definitely try to get a ticket, because they're also putting this entire run up for free.
Yeah, you just have to wait for a ticket.
Yeah, so... Go down to the Public, see if you can get a ticket. It is such a joyous, like, what was it? Like 90 minutes?
90 minutes.
Amazing.
No,
I also saw Natasha Pierre.
You hadn't seen it before?
No.
Yay.
Yeah. I did not see it at Ars Nova because I think it happened like right before I got to the city.
Maybe.
But I saw it and it was so incredible.
Yes, it is.
Have you seen it since it moved?
We, because Nick Choksi is in it. We got to go to opening, which was really special.
Oh my
with
God.
His family.
Yeah. So,
but I think they did a really good job of adapting the theater for
expanding
it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Because we sat up in the mezzanine, but it was still great.
Yeah. Theater. Just amazing. Like, they've just transformed this Broadway theater completely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you got to see it.
Yeah, me too. I'm so glad. So
good.
If you can, check that out.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I'm so excited.
Thank you, Leah. I'm glad we got to do this.
Me too.
Listening to the Compass podcast. I'm Leah Walsh. More episodes are coming soon. Please look for us on Facebook and iTunes. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.